Nice to see a good crowd of folks here today. Good contribution to be done. And we left our contribution as we went down yonder on Friday. At the same time, we're glad that everybody else will partake of it in a good way. One of the great verses in the page of the Bible that I'd like to speak about tonight is found by the Apostle Paul when he addressed the brethren at Colossae in Colossians chapter 1. If you look there with me, you'll see the passages that are set forth. Number one, he talks about how he meets the greets, the brethren there. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He noted that particularly. The apostleship is identified in Acts chapter 1, commencing in verse 20, as those who have been with the Lord during his public ministry and witnesses of his presence at his resurrection. As the idea was expressed on that gay occasion, this was the characteristic of an apostle, not just one who is a learner, a disciple of the Lord. There were a lot of learners of the Lord, and they continue to be learners of the Lord. And the disciples, you remember in Acts 11:26, are called Christians first at Antioch. So they are disciples, they're followers of the Lord. They're learning of his way. And discipleship, learning of his way, is not the same as one who's sent. One sent as an apostle. So the apostles being with the Jesus in the, during his ministry, with the Lord following his resurrection from the dead, seeing that, were those who were competent to be called apostles. It is noted of the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. That they were those who studied those who came among them and claimed to be apostles. That they investigated that matter. And this, no doubt, is the way they investigated. They looked to the faith and the teaching of the faith about that. As a result of that, they found that these were not people who had either been with the Lord or been with him following his resurrection from the dead. And they were not qualified to become apostles of the Lord. They were rejected there at Antioch. They were there apparently just for the money, just for the power, just for the authority that they had. And it came only from themselves. They were not the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were not wishing grace, mercy, and peace upon anyone. They were wishing for themselves to be deceptive of others. And as a result of that, they were disappointed when the brethren there at Ephesus didn't just accept their every word about it. Didn't accept their every statement about it. But they challenged them in that regard and found that they were not apostles and rejected them. In this matter, the brethren there had done a right thing and a good thing. And today, there are people who claim to be apostles today. There are those who are on television who say, I'm an apostle. And they'll probably tally in the word prophet along the way with it to make statements about the power that they have. When we go back to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy in reference to that matter, we find that Moses was one who said that there would come others who would speak, and they would speak regarding the power that they had and the miracle-working power they had. And in Deuteronomy chapter 18, reference is made to this matter of how they would be falsely teaching that. They would not be telling the truth. And as a result of coming among them, they would be threatening them. And the Lord said, You shall see that if they predict a thing to come, that it must come to pass. If it does not come to pass, I did not speak by that individual. I did not say by that individual. That is not a representative of me. Besides that, it is noted regarding them that they are false teachers. And thou shalt not be afraid of them. Why would the Israelites be afraid of those men who'd come claiming to be prophets and claiming to predict the future? And if you don't believe in me and believe what I have to say, then I'll bring bad things upon you or something bad will happen to you. Probably is the idea. And they were not to be afraid of the words of men, the mannerisms of men, because those did not represent the Lord. If, in fact, what they said did not come to pass. If it didn't have the power. Today in our world in which we live, there are people who claim to be miracle-working people. They can do wonderful blessings. I note that they don't go to St. Jude. They don't go to Le Bonheur Hospital, where little children are there and suffering of cancers and various other ailments. and suddenly have their faces on television, because you know they would. Channel 3, Channel 5, Channel 13, and 24 and 30 would be out there in a minute saying, whoa, let's get pictures of this. Let's have this. Here's a person who came in here just a few weeks ago and could not walk, could not see, could not hear. And yet, suddenly, this person is now mended. And here's the one who is responsible for it, they would say. And they'd bring that individual out, parade him before the lights. And by the way, television lights are some of the hottest lights. When we were doing the television ministry down in Jackson, some of the hottest days, cold outside, but it would be hot inside those studios. Those lights were just permeate you, just absolutely. And they'd get the colors that they want. They'd get it to be something that they would send through the airways. But it was hot, hot situation there. Well, what they'd find is they would find themselves in this power of being heated up. But they would not have the power. They did not have the witness of it. They didn't have the example shown. None of these are mended in such a way as Jesus mended, as the apostles mended, that Paul himself said, I am an apostle of Jesus Christ. It is amazing that he was sent and that he could do what the things that he did and the power that he manifested. Regarding spiritual wisdom that they would have, commencing in verse 3, he says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Jesus, or Christ Jesus, and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard it, and knew the grace of God in truth. How many times is it noted in verses 3 through 7 in reference to this matter of know the truth, know the seek you, know the message, know the truth, know the teaching and the guidance of the Lord? Several times are noted. It is noted regarding their matter that they were people who heard of your faith in Jesus Christ, verse 4, and the love that you have for all the saints, for the hope that is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. It is the case that truth and the gospel, the good message, is together. When you and I hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, we're hearing that which is the truth. We'll get that truth no other place. We'll get that teaching no other place. We'll get that assurance no other place. The eternal welfare of our soul. It is noted the hope which is laid up in heaven for you. There are those who just don't believe that there's a heavenly place. They just don't believe that there's anything beyond the grave that we go to as we die on this earth. But our Lord Jesus believed in heaven. He said, I came down from heaven in John 3. He noted very clearly, I came down from heaven. For more than that, he said regarding heaven in his ministry, the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets who were before you. Those that did the persecution and those rejected this way were not going to be there. But those prophets that had been persecuted unto death, they could be the guiding assurance to these individuals that as you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Great is your reward in heaven. Jesus believed in heaven, said he came down from heaven. But more than this, here is the teaching of Paul to the brethren of the hope that is laid up for them in heaven. When Paul addressed his thoughts to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 about his way of life, he said, I have fought a good fight, I finished the course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day. Since he had talked to the brethren here at Colossae about what was laid up in the hope, laid up in heaven for them, I want to ask you, what did he anticipate of the crown that was laid up? Where was it laid up for him? And not for me only, said, but all them that love his appearing. What's the idea of this? For the love which you have for the saints, for the hope that is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. These people were informed and instructed about a word from the apostle of the Lord, that they believed and they were practicing, and they were given assurance that there is a place in heaven for you. Paul no doubt is talking about that place in heaven for him there in 2 Timothy 4. And in reference to that matter, he's going to enjoy that place. Skipping down now to verse number 10 in Colossians chapter 1, we get another point. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, whereunto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us to be meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Where did all these things come about that were blessings for their souls and for their lives, freedom from sin and hope for the future? It was laid up in this idea right here. They were translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. What was he writing about? He was writing about their walk worthy of all pleasing. Verse 10. Walking worthy. How well do we walk in the darkness? We were to turn off these lights here tonight. You've been familiar with this building, familiar with these pews being here. There are 30 out and 15 on each side. They'll be available for you. We walk at about the rate of 2 miles per hour. That's what we step. We step at about the rate of 2 miles per hour. Make your way on out of this building. Let's turn off all the lights and let's make our way out of this building without hearing a bump. Oh my. Oh. In our vocabulary. You know it just wouldn't happen. No matter how much we know about this place, we find ourselves bumping something. Darkness brings about dangers, hidden dangers, hidden from our sight, obviously, because it's dark around us. There's just no benefit from that being the case when we can turn on a light. Some of the guys at the coffee shop ask me sometime, what are these four pens that you have in your pocket? And the first one I pull out was the one to get their attention. They never hear me talk about the other three that are there. I say, I got a light. If the light goes out in this place, I've got a light that could guide us at the door. We can have a light here and we can see where we go. And that sort of thing. I don't know how I benefited from that, but did benefit from that in days gone by. The light of the Word of God, who's translated us out of the power of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear Son. When we're in the kingdom of God's dear Son, the kingdom to which he rules, and we practice that way of life, we find ultimate, wonderful spiritual blessings. When we find ourselves in the kingdom, we find ourselves in the place where he instituted the Lord's Supper and said that he would partake of it in the kingdom in the future with them. Yet the brethren at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 11 are the brethren being taught how they should correctly partake of the Lord's Supper in the church of God, which is at Corinth. If it was in the kingdom that he said, I'm going to partake of you with it again in the future, and they were being taught how to correctly partake of it so that they would not eat and drink condemnation to their souls, was it not the case that the kingdom people and the church people were the same people? They were in relationship to the Lord and they had a hope of the soul. That hope that is described here in Colossians 1:13, from darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. The church is to be the place of light. It's to be the place that teaches and guides us. We're to enjoy the relationship that we have. And we're to enjoy the participation of that relationship. It is the case that we should enjoy that, because that's God's intention. Notice he said in verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. It is possible that in the relationship we find in this kingdom of God's dear Son, that we have this redemption. We're bought back to friendship, redeeming us, buying us back by buying us back to friendship with God Himself. We were in darkness. We were away from Him. We were away from that friendship because God does not entertain the fellowship of the darkness, but the light. And He wants that light to be shined upon and help the lives of people right and left. And so it is that this apostle Jesus Christ, by the will of God, is teaching these saints and fellow brethren in Christ at Colossae that this grace and this peace of God is to be with you and guide you as you learn of that hope laid up for you in heaven, as you serve the Lord in this word of truth and teaching of the Lord, as you honor the ways in which you walk worthy to the Lord's way, and as you enter into the kingdom of His dear Son. As we partake of the Lord's Supper together, we find ourselves in the kingdom, and we find Him in the kingdom, saying that I will do it in another clime. I'll do it in another place, another way. If He were there on earth, and He was there in Matthew 26, partaking of the Lord's Supper with them, and said, I will not eat henceforth this, I will not drink henceforth this fruit of the vine, till that day that I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. It'd pay us to look up that word new, and we'd find two distinct words and two distinct meanings for it. We'd find that new sometimes is new in reference to the time that it's here, but also new is in the time of newness in the sense of its being. Our Lord said, I'll drink it new with you in the sense of its being. Not newness in reference to time. That would be over and over again, the disciples would do. But it would always be in reference to Him and His blood, a reminder that it was shed for the remission of our sins. What a blessing it is to have that relationship with the Lord and in the kingdom in whom we find redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. We're brought back to be friendship with God once again, and we're brought back to that wonderful blessing of hope for salvation for the soul. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation tonight, think about this song as we sing it together. It'll remind us of our relationship to the Lord, where we ought to be. And in Colossians 1, we'll see that that blessing will be ours if we will but be in the kingdom of His dear Son. Would you come as we stand?
King of my life, my crown is now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn crown brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. May I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for thee, even thy cup of grief to share. Thou hast borne all for me. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thy agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary.
Lord.